What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Thank you, Voice Guy, your hometown home and business security company. And we've got one of our favorite guys, Ray Fittipaldo, joining us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Ray, of course, from the Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider. Hello, Ray. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We are doing wonderful.
Wonderful?
Wonderful. I shouldn't speak for you, Doran. I said we.
Well, you can feel the vibe.
I can feel the vibe. We're doing great. All right, Ray. So Mike Tomlin would not yesterday, when pressed twice, say that Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback when healthy. Do you think, though, that Russ Wilson is the starting quarterback when healthy?
Yes, but guys, I don't know when Russell Wilson is going to be healthy enough for Mike Tomlin to feel like he could put him out there. We're over 6 weeks now since this injury happened, and it just seems like if it's not good enough now, you know, after 6 weeks, it's just going to be something that lingers all season. So I think Mike, you know, wants to put Russ out there. Russ obviously wants to be out there, but Mike said it after the game. He's going to play the healthy players, and, you know, it wasn't a great performance by that Steelers offense, but I'll tell you what, Justin Fields didn't make any mistakes. He managed that game well, and, you know, they found a way to play better in the second half and get the win.
Ray, say Russell Wilson miraculously becomes healthy next week. What does Justin Fields have to do on Sunday to make them think that, okay, we're going to stick with Justin Fields even though Russ is somewhat healthy?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be really good, because here's the way I look at it, Doran. I think the norm for Justin Fields in this offense and the way Mike Tomlin wants to play with Justin Fields, I think the norm is going to be 17, 20, 23 points. I think we saw the formula that they want to win with when Justin Fields is the starter. I know you guys saw that next-gen passing chart like I did. I mean, 80%, 85% of the throws were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, or maybe 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. There were three down the field. All three were to George Pickens. So, you know, they're going to run the ball. It's going to be conservative. So, you know, Justin Fields can go out there and play well again, but he still might have 150 yards passing and no turnover. So I don't think we're going to see like a 300-yard game or a three-touchdown performance from Justin as long as Mike and Arthur are calling the game the way they called it against the Falcons.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us in the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I think I'm picking up what you're putting down, Ray, but I just want to ask for clarification purposes. Mike Tomlin did leave the light on for Russell Wilson, but it sounds like you really don't think he's got much of a chance to play this week.
Well, he foreshadowed that he's going to be limited today, and then he mentioned something about a battery of tests that he's going to go through, I think, today or tomorrow, and then they'll figure out his availability for Thursday. But when you get into Thursday and you're not practicing, then I know he's a veteran, but I would say, guys, if he's limited the next 2 days, I would have a hard time seeing the Steelers go with Russell with just one full day of practice on Friday. But that's just my gut.
Ray, Dan Moore Jr. is dealing with an ankle injury, and Troy Fautanu practiced last week, seeming like he's going to start this week. Is this the first time, and do you feel like we will see this, Troy Fautanu at right tackle and Broderick Jones at left tackle against the Broncos?
Yeah, so I didn't get the idea that Dan Moore's injury was serious enough to keep him out of this game. What Mike said was he would be limited in the early portions of the week. So you're right. We are going to see Troy Faiatanu with the starters today, likely, at right tackle, and then we'll see Broderick Jones at left tackle. Where it becomes interesting, Doran, is, okay, on Friday, let's say Dan Moore is back and Troy Faiatanu is healthy. He looks good at right tackle. Does Broderick Jones go to the bench, or do they keep Troy Faiatanu on the bench? Because I'll tell you what, I thought Dan Moore played really well against the Falcons. I thought he protected really well. There weren't really a lot of issues with his side of the line. So I don't think they're going to sit Dan Moore down if he's healthy. So I think it would be Broderick Jones who would go to the bench, or they would just play a conservative and they would go one more week with Faiatanu being a backup.
Wow. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. One other thing I wanted to ask you on Russ Wilson here, Ray. Do you know what happened with this blocking sled? Like, did Justin Fields get on the blocking sled? Did Cameron Johnson get on the blocking sled? Did everybody get on the blocking sled? Was this something that Russ Wilson volunteered to do because he's kind of loco up there? Like, what do you know that happened? What is your understanding of all of that?
The only thing I know is, listen, the other quarterbacks could have done it. I assume they also did it, but I haven't had that confirmed yet. And that's a little bit of a tricky thing to ask in the locker room of Justin Fields or Kyle Allen, because, you know, you don't want to throw them under the bus and, let that out of the bag. So I'm sure that question will get answered in the future, but I don't have the answer for you right now.
Ray, how do you think that Arthur Smith did on Sunday?
They won. I know there was a lot of criticism during the game, especially early on, because it did look a lot like a Matt Canada offense with kind of the sideways passes and all that thing. But I got to be honest with you, Doran, I think a lot of that is Mike Tomlin telling Arthur this is the way he wants to play. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that you didn't see any passes over the middle again. I mean, Mike Tomlin always talks about the high traffic areas over the middle of the field, and that's where turnovers happen. So, I do think a lot of it is I don't want to say Arthur was handcuffed, but I definitely think that Mike wanted it to be a more conservative game plan. And why not? When you have that defense and they're playing the way they are right now, I think it's a really good formula to have, to win while the offense gets its sea legs. So I thought he did okay. I wasn't a big fan of the passing game early, but, he took some shots in the second half, and give credit to Justin. He connected with George Pickens for a couple when it mattered.
What about Roman Wilson? You think he's going to get worked into the mix?
Mike said he's going to practice more this week, but, in terms of him being active or being a big part of the game plan on Sunday, I don't see that quite yet just because he's been out for so long. But, guys, they need him. After George Pickens on Sunday, they had two catches for 8 yards among their other receivers. I think Van Jefferson had one, and Calvin Austin had the other. I mean, that's got to pick up. Those guys have to be more productive. And whether it's Roman Wilson or one of those other guys, you're not going to win a lot of football games with that type of production from your 2, 3, 4 receivers.
How much do you think you'll see Terrell Edmonds? He's not on the practice squad. He's on the active roster, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting how Mike answered that question yesterday. Basically said that it was a depth move. They had no reason to add him now, but they were adding him now in case there was an injury later on. So I think it was just one of those things that they felt Edmonds was better than a practice squad player. They plucked him off the Jaguars practice squad, and now they have an extra body in the secondary. I mean, they are kind of thin back there with, the injury of Ryan Watts and Cam Sutton still being on the suspended list. I think they can use all the veteran bodies they can get. And obviously, Edmonds knows this defense really well, and he knows the personnel around him very well. So I don't expect him to have a big role unless there's an injury. But like I said, he's a nice depth piece to have in your back pocket in case there is an injury.
It's always nice to have you in our back pocket, Ray. Thank you for joining us.
All right, guys. See you later.
Thanks, see you, buddy. God, that was so professional.
You are very professional.
Wow.
Nice to have you in our back pocket, Ray.
I'd love to have Ray in my back pocket. This little tiny Ray like Tinkerbell.
Why? What would you use him for?
We'd talk football.
You just pull him out like, hey, Ray, what do you think about Justin Fields and his progressions?
Yeah, my wife doesn't want to watch Thursday night football with me tomorrow, but
you
Ray
don't
want
to watch football with anybody. You like to watch it by yourself.
Not if it's a game that I don't care about.
You like to watch it with people if it's a game you don't care about?
If it's a game I don't care about, I like to go and watch it with humans, yeah. If it's a game I'm emotionally invested in, unless I'm at the game, I want to be by myself because I'm a freak.
Why don't you ever ask me to watch games?
Because I'm a freak. You mean like a Steeler game? We should do that. But I'd annoy the hell out of you.
Yep.
What'd you see there? Shut up. You've told me you don't like watching it with people. That's the issue. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peter's Talent. You visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ben Roethlisberger chimed in on his thoughts on how Justin Fields played. We'll let you hear that. And we'll react to what Ray said. In particular, could Broderick Jones be the guy who gets benched if Troy Faltanu is back and healthy?
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, real quick. Texter. Oh, my God. This is how they wrote it. All caps to start. Oh, my God, stop with the Justin Fields did good. There is no way that game plan holds up with KC, San Fran, Eagles, etc. All right, first of all, they're not playing San Fran till the Super Bowl. So if they get there, okay, we'll take our shot. They didn't play Kansas City. They didn't play the Eagles. They played the Falcons with a quarterback that practiced for one day, and the day he practiced is a walkthrough day. So how about you? Oh, my God, stop. Let's see what he does this week with a full week of practice. If he goes out there and they don't score a touchdown, okay, we can have a conversation. Right. They didn't play the Chiefs. Like, they played the Chiefs. Guess what? They lose that game. If you have your quarterback manage the game against the Chiefs, you are going to lose.
I mean, there's specific game plans, too. Wait. For each team.
Like, I don't think Tomlin gets enough credit for that either, actually. Like, go beat Atlanta. You're not lining up to beat the 2007 Patriots on Sunday. Sorry, I cut you off. I got
you're absolutely right. There's specific game plans, though. Like, they had a thought, and they were on a short, they were on, 48 hours of a new quarterback. It's like, hey, this is what we do well. We got to be conservative, and we just got to win the game. Now, I know that there's going to be a different game plan this week. There's going to be a different game plan against the Chargers. And then you go through the season, you get better or you get worse. And then you have the Eagles, you have the Chiefs, you have the AFC North, and you figure it out from there. And you have specific game plans for each team and each defense and each offense.
Yes. Like, are people in Cincinnati today going, oh my God, we scored 10 points? Probably not. Now, there's a body of work for Joe Burrow that you can fall back on and say, they've struggled early. Really, for as long as he's been there, and then they've turned it on late and been in an elite offense. I get that. But you're not going to see very many, if at all, finished products offensively at the beginning of the season. We saw it with San Francisco. They did it to the Steelers last year. They did it this year. You saw it with Tampa Bay. They got to play a college team in Carolina. Like, if they didn't go in there and put up 47 points, you're probably asking what the hell happened. Carolina stinks. What?
I think it was the Saints.
Which team, who did Baker play?
Forget.
Pawpaws?
Pawpaws.
Callis, you got a Pawpaws in there? NFL scores. Boo-dee-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Thank you. All right, they played the Commanders and put up 37 points. The Buccaneers did, but you are correct. So people probably feel good about the Saints offense. Saints beat the Panthers. The Buccaneers beat the Commanders. I didn't see a lot of other finished products offensively last week. It's just the nature of the league now. When preseason, you're not going to play as many guys. Most teams don't. And so you're going to go into the season and you're going to look at September and you're going to say, let's figure out who we are, what we do well, what we don't do well, and you're going to try to get better from there.
The finished products that are out there, like the Cowboys, were somewhat of a finished product, and they ran high level offense. The ones that did, the Kansas City Chiefs and the teams that you rattled off, they aren't in a situation where you're having a new quarterback, which is a second-string quarterback, and a new offensive coordinator. Like, everything is new. With them, it's not. They're picking up where they left off. Those teams that are playing at a high level on offense, they're picking up where they left off from last year. The Steelers, everything is new, man. Like, it's going to take some time. And I know you want to score touchdowns. That's the name of the game. But on a short week with a quarterback, you go into that game plan like, what the hell does he do well? Oh, he uses his feet. Let's let him take a shot every once in a while. We'll feel good about that. But other than that, hey, take care of the football, and we'll play defense, we'll win this game, and then we'll reassess on Monday.
Yeah, people got to remember that that's their backup quarterback. They wanted Russell Wilson to start the game. The reason he didn't is because he got hurt. The guy that replaced him practiced, like you said, one day. And here's another texter. You do realize we've seen the exact same offense for the last 2 years. So the texter makes a point that you're not countering very well. If you want to hear us counter that, you can listen to the last two shows where I said, if you think it looked the same, you're not watching football and know what you're looking at. The result ultimately was the same. They didn't score touchdowns. They didn't score enough points. But this is an offensive line we were worried about coming in. They were third in the league, according to PFF, in pass blocking grades. Why? Because the new offensive coordinator is not a bum. That offensive line would have been eaten alive in pass protection if Matt Canada were here. It did not happen. They stayed committed to the run, even though at times it didn't look like the run was working, and they wound up with darn near 140 yards. Last few seasons, they started out the season, they rushed for, I think, 41 against San Francisco, and they rushed for, I think, 55 was the number against the Cleveland Browns. They don't run the football well, historically, the last 2 years at the beginning of the season. It was only late in the season. So there was a lot of things that happened in this game that were better than the last 2 years. Not to mention you had that garbage push-off call. You would have gone up over 300 yards. They didn't do that Matt Canada's entire tenure.
Not to mention he had a rookie center in his first start on the road.
He was good.
I'm watching a clip of him right now, but think about what was last year. Think about Mason Cole. Like, that isn't different. That's a lot. That's a big position to be pretty good at, especially as a young player. It's very, and I know they had the bobbled snap or whatever, but that's very significant.
Yes.
You think he's going to get worse?
You see Brian Baldinger break him down?
That's what I'm watching.
Oh. I might go home tonight, turn off the lights, light a couple of candles, and just watch that clip of Brian Baldinger talk about how good Zach Frazier was. He's knocking guys down.
Mm-hmm.
Pass protection was good. They got a good one there. They also got a good one, we think, in Troy Faltanu. And how about our guy in the previous segment, Ray Fittipaldo, said he could see it with Dan Moore Jr. being hurt. Okay, if he's obviously limited throughout the week, he could see Faltanu and Broderick Jones start. But he also threw out there, what if Dan Moore Jr. is healthy? He could see it where Broderick Jones gets benched.
Mm-hmm.
I got sidetracked by the textures here. We should probably spend more time on this topic. You cannot bench Broderick Jones when Troy Faltanu comes back healthy. That, to me, is bad first-round pick that you traded up for asset management. I know Dan Moore played well. I get that. Then why didn't you pay him? You know, why'd you draft Broderick Jones? You got to play at some point. And if you're not going to let him play, if you're not going to let Faltanu play when Dan Moore Jr. is nursing an injury this week, then when is that going to happen? Like, now the door is ajar. The light should be on. It's the opportunity. Go take advantage. Texter, I love the play calling, the moving pockets, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I brought this up before, too. The rollout to the left, the moving pocket, looks across the field, laser beam the Pickens right before half, 1 second left on the clock. We don't see that the last few. We didn't even see that with Ben. They weren't rolling Ben out and having him throw it the other way. He would do it sometimes himself. It's a lot different.
Yes.
A lot different.
Think about how the offensive line needed to hold up on that play, too. And he wasn't there. I don't even think there was anybody close to him.
Good point by you.
I think that's hard.
I think they're going to do a lot of that stuff with Russell Wilson, too, by the way.
Yes. That's his game.
Yeah, he can do that.
Uh-huh.
Not to scramble, but just
sprint, turn, throw.
Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Fan Morning Show Twitter. Bang. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. This is a write-in vote. You can go to @_AdamCrowley. I have asked the question. Assuming he starts on Sunday, and we are, what does Justin Fields have to do to lock down the starting job? You can vote. We'll revisit that later in the show. Doug Whaley from 9 until 10. We take a brief departure from football coming up next. John Wehner is going to join us. Is it a shoo-in that Andrew McCutchen comes back next year? He had his 20th homer of the season last night. It's unbelievable. Talk to Wehner about that. John Wehner going to be joining us here momentarily. He's brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Save 50% on installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale. This month only, 8885-HELMET. And also brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Andrew McCutchen hit his 20th homer of the season last night. We'll get to John in just 1 second. We were talking about the offensive line in the last segment. And someone texts in, Doran, and says, it should not matter if the person was drafted first or last. If they're not performing, they should be benched. Broderick Jones is no exception. Dan Moore has been playing his ass off, working his ass off. Broderick Jones looks like he was on roller skates during the preseason. I understand that point in like terms of philosophy. Like, sports is supposed to be the ultimate meritocracy. If you play the best, you should play. That being said, GTFO with the preseason. Like, he did look really bad in the preseason. I thought he was fine on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also not playing healthy. So Dan Moore would even things out with his ankle being banged up, but clearly Broderick Jones still has something going on with that arm. Probably something he'll be dealing with all season. Shall we talk to Mr. Wehner?
Yes.
Hello, John. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you folks?
Well, you got any thoughts on the Steelers offensive line? I'm sure you do.
Oh, man, I don't pay that much attention to the line. I got to watch the first game. I was pleasantly surprised. I love the defense. I'm not real good at, like, paying attention to the line. I don't know. I know the one guy's from Fairmont, West Virginia, the center, that's Frazier. It.
That is true. What a wonderful man he is, and what a wonderful place that is, John.
I know. We love West Virginia.
Who's we?
I do. I'm in West Virginia. Like, half my time I'm down there.
Why?
That's my wife's store's down there. I'm down there all the time. I just came up Monday.
See, John, this just made, I did not know any of that, and I am titillated. All right, to the baseball, though, Mr. Wehner. And Andrew McCutchen hits his 20th home run last night. It's just incredible, really, when you think about a guy doing it at his age, where he is on the Pirates all-time list. And I think this might be the easiest question you're ever going to have to answer, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Like, you offer him the same deal for next year, right?
Yeah, I would think so. It is incredible what he's doing. He's locked in right now, and, you know, he still has that incredible bat speed. I think that's probably the first thing to go when you get into your mid-30s is the bat speed, and can you catch up to a fastball, especially today with how hard all the pitchers are throwing. And he could still turn around the fastball with the best of them and hit it a long way. I talked about this on the air last night. I mean, he's backspinning balls. I mean, he was a guy, you know, we've seen the power to right center, to center, to right. Balls he's hitting to left are absolute bombs. That was 400 plus feet, a high towering drive. And, you know, he's been very, very productive. You know, he still gets on base. He still has a good eye. And he hit 20 homers at 37 years old. He and the old guy that closed out the game. That's incredible too. At 35 years old, Chapman, it seems like he's been around for 20 years, and he finished the game throwing 103 miles per hour. And so, yeah, it's you don't see that very often. Guys that get to their mid late 30s doing the things they're doing.
John, we all know that Paul Skenes is a generational talent, but whenever you watch him game in and game out, what do you think he can get better at whenever you're assessing his game in the offseason or heading into next season? Is there anything that you see in his game, in his pitching, that, oh, he could get better at that, and if he does, he could be even better next year?
Yeah, actually, we had him on last night, and I asked him about throwing a cutter or a slider, if that's in his future. You know, he has three breaking balls, a slider, a sweeper, and a curve. And, you know, they're all in the 80s. You know, back in the day, you saw a lot of guys that were basically sinker slider, and the slider would come in, you know, 5-6 miles per hour slower than the fastball. and a lot than for a hitter when you got a guy throwing that hard that has a hard slider. You know, it's hard to pick up, and you get a lot of chase. I mean, this is silly to talk about because the guy's incredible, and, you know, one game he's getting guys out with curveballs, the next the splinker, the next the changeup. I think if he threw, like, a hard slider in the low 90s to righties, he'd even be that much better. He kind of talked about it, and he said, you know, just kind of way the ball's in his hand, the way he lets go of the ball, he's kind of worked on a cutter, and it just really isn't for him, but something that, you know, he might look into as his career goes on. But, man, you know, when you throw like his slider comes in about, I think it averages 86, 87. When you see a slower pitch like that, that's 10, 12 miles per hour softer than his fastball, there's bigger break. It's easier to recognize as a hitter. If you throw a hard, sharp slider at like 93-ish, I mean, righties would have no chance if he could come up with something like that. I mean, that's probably easier said than done. But, you know, yeah, you could tell this guy the way he works, the way he executes his pitch, his know-how to find weaknesses on hitters, he's going to get better. He's going to continue to work on his craft. He's going to continue to his command of all these pitches he has is top-notch for a 22-year-old guy. But for me, I wouldn't have a chance against anything he throws, but if he had a slider, I think he'd embarrass me. Like a hard slider, I think he would embarrass a lot of hitters if he could throw like a good hard sharp slider.
All right, last thing here for you, Rock, and we're a little short on time here, so I do apologize for that, but Jackson Merrill is the betting favorite right now to win the NL Rookie of the Year, and he is a delightful player. There's no doubt about it, and the Padres are 82-64. But is Jackson Merrill historically good? Because the guy the Pirates have out there has got a 2.10 ERA, and he's 10-2, and he's got the best ERA in the league, and he's striking everybody out. He's making the Marlins look silly. What am I missing here?
Yeah, I mean, a great question. Who knows? I mean, I would sit here and think that Paul Skenes obviously is going to be right up there. If he doesn't finish first, if he doesn't win it, he's going to be in the, you know, second. I mean, I know the 30-year-old rookie in Chicago, in Managa, he'll be up there too because he's had a great year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a historic, generational type pitcher. Nothing against Merrill. He's had a great season as well. It'll be interesting to see how that comes out. I mean, I guess Paul will probably have two or three more starts, and he's already over 150 strikeouts. He'll probably end up in the 160s. He could have a dozen wins, maybe the lowest ERA in all of it. Well, he will have the lowest ERA in baseball, I would guess. And he's certainly because he's not a favorite doesn't mean he's not going to win. Obviously, we'll see what happens when the votes come out.
John, this was wonderful as always. Enjoy Wild and Wonderful, buddy.
Always do. Always do. Have a good week, guys.
You too.
Go Stillers.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Thought he was going to say, let's go Mountaineers. He
said, we love West Virginia. Who's we?
Well, we got McKillop coming on later on. Mm-hmm. He loves West Virginia. He lives there.
No, he loves his wife.
And his wife lives there. He lives there. He has settled down into the hills. Mm. It's a beautiful
state.
Doesn't
mean he loves it.
Well, we'll ask him.
Like Wehner said, just because you're a favorite doesn't mean you're going to win.
That's not the same thing. I don't know why it's not the same, but it's not the same thing.
Do you think that if Scott McKillop could pick whether he could live in Pittsburgh or live in West Virginia, he'd pick living in West Virginia?
You don't think he could pick?
No.
Because wife?
Yes.
I understand that. By the way, Texter brings up that Broderick Jones was bad in the preseason. Who was he worst against? I'll answer my own question. Gregory Rousseau. Easy for me to say. Do you happen to see what Gregory Rousseau did week one? 3 sacks.
Mm.
So Gregory Rousseau had 5 sacks, 5.5, I think, all of last year. Dominates Broderick Jones in the preseason. Goes out, starts the season with a 3-sack performance.
Mm.
Like the one guy whose stat line was better than TJ Watts. So maybe, I'm just throwing it out there, maybe we don't need to freak out that much about Broderick Jones. That's all. All right, coming up next, we go around the NFL, brought to us by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I brought up, we got Scott McKillop coming on tomorrow. He of December 1st, 2007 fame. Pat Narduzzi going to join us at 6:45. Deuce, before the big game on Saturday. He always, big rise and shiner. When we have him on, he wants to do early.
Yeah, gets his day started with us.
Do you think he listens to us?
Sure.
Do you think he turns the radio off when I talk and then guesses, all right, let me turn it back. Oh, Doran's talking, I can listen.
Probably.
Yeah. I like Pat. I do.
I think he likes you.
I think he does too.
I think. Like, honestly, I don't, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, my interactions with him have been positive. Saw him at that fundraising event not long ago, and we had a nice chat. I wish I had his calves.
For what? So you can strain them?
Like, well, it's just, I'm still, dude, I swear, I have created an Achilles injury in my left leg because I am such a mental weakling. My anxiety is such, I'm afraid I'm going to pop my left Achilles.
It's going to pop.
You think so?
Probably. In the most inopportune time, too. Like, it'll probably be at the game on Saturday.
Will they carry me off the field?
No.
Cart me out of there?
No.
What if that did happen?
Cabali, happened to Cabali?
Was he on the field?
No, he was going up the escalator, right?
Oh, yeah.
At SoFi. That's awful.
How nuts is that? My man's not even walking up the stairs. The stairs are walking him up. That's what an escalator is, and he still tears the Achilles.
That's awful.
I'm terrified. I'm poking it. That's so tender.
That's not good.
And the calf is tight.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Oh, no.
And I can't handle pain. All right, we're going around the NFL here. I've left precious time because I'm talking about Pat Narduzzi's calves. So tomorrow night's game, do you know what it is? I'll tell you. The Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins, and Tua Tagovailoa says the narrative will be we can't beat the Bills until we do. Early look, I like the Dolphins now. When it's money time late in the season, I just don't buy that team, man.
Right.
And I'm not the biggest Bills fan. You've kind of talked me into that, like, they're Josh Allen and a bunch of nothing on offense, but Josh Allen's really good. I think Buffalo stomps them tomorrow. Or excuse me, I think Miami wins tomorrow, but Buffalo stomps them when it matters.
Yeah,
excuse me.
I totally agree. I mean, Buffalo barely won against the Cardinals last week.
Cardinals are pesky. That defense sucks, though.
I just don't, I mean, there's just no, I mean, losing Diggs, I think, is going to hurt them.
Massive. Massive. When your best option's probably a rookie, that's not a good place to be. All right, one more thing here. Robert Saleh of the Jets. It feels better to be 0-1 this year than 1-0 last year. Buying or selling that?
I buy it because you have Aaron Rodgers.
I buy it, too. I also thought they played like crap.
Yeah.
Now, I thought Rodgers showed he could still do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't play well. The arm talent was there, and he moved better than Kirk Cousins did.
Yep.
Like, way better than Kirk Cousins did. All right, coming up next, Doug Whaley joins us for a full hour. What would he do in Mike Tomlin's position with the quarterback? How did he feel like Justin Fields played last week? We got a full game to break down with Doug Whaley.
We got a lot.
And there's stuff going on at Pitt I think he might have opinions on as well. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high 85.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.